The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. Does anyone know who said that? Oprah, exactly. The gospel according to Oprah today. Exactly. So yes, in her famous, now infamous, you might say, acceptance speech at the Golden Globes just up the road, Oprah Winfrey went on to say in that famous speech, "And each of us here tonight is celebrated by the stories we tell." As human beings, we do discover our true identity in and through story. They are sacred to us, and they can be powerful tools indeed to persevere and grow throughout life. And truth, story, and identity are all wrapped up in our readings this morning. The Gospel of Mark, we have portions of text. We have two portions of text, and the first one sets the stage for the second. We hear first that Jesus has come to Galilee. He is beginning his mission of proclaiming the good news, the gospel of God, that the time is fulfilled, that the kingdom of God has come near. You may remember from past weeks that before this, Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan and sent out by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested in every way, to grow in every way. And yet he returns to begin his mission this day, the mission of spreading the news that God has come near and is about to do a very new thing. We then hear that Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee. As far as we know, he is alone, yet not for long. Jesus somehow knows that his mission to spread this gospel calls for not just a divine leader, but also a community to help spread it. So Jesus calls Simon and Andrew, then James and John, the first four who will join an eventual 12. When Jesus calls them into is a new way of life, a new identity, a new story. Yet like any story, it builds upon all that came before. For their new life of following Jesus grows out of their former lives. For we hear they were fishermen. It's as if Jesus comes to them and asks them to bring their stories, their truths, and join in this but the latest chapter of God's action in the world. Every time we read or hear a story of Holy Scripture, we want to know that it's speaking to multiple audiences at the same time. Yes, these are stories of old, stories passed down from generations before. Yet they are never just old, dusty stories. For Jesus did not come to proclaim the good history of God. No, he came to proclaim the good news of God. The gospel, which has come near. So therefore, Scripture is always also talking and speaking to us in this time and place. Jesus always comes along the shores of our Sea of Galilee and says to each of us, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And yet it's not always obvious to us, is it, that Jesus has come at all? What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. And speaking your truth of God in your life is not a passive experience. It will not come as an edict faxed down from heaven for you. God is too wise to let us off that easily. We have work to do as well. And how we do that work is through a formal term we in the church call theological reflection. That might sound fancy, but all that is about connecting the stories of our lives, connecting the story of God, which we find in Scripture and in the tradition of the church, with our own story and experience. The connections and truths of our life are found at the intersection of those two. And in my own experience, maybe it's true for you, I most often make meaning out of how God has been active in my life after the fact. For me, God is usually most clear when I'm looking in the rear view mirror of my life. So theological reflection, in a constant sense, is vital to keep our lives active and strong and growing in faith. The greatest privilege of being your priest, even for these last 7 months or so, is beginning to get to know your stories. Because in getting to know those, we get to know you. For your truths, your narratives of how God has been active or absent are found there. And it's from that place where Jesus will call you to follow him in the days and years to come. So in order to respond to that call, which Jesus makes to each of us today and every day, I want to ask you to do something. Humor me. Take out your bulletin and turn to the psalm which we sung right before Patty read the gospel. We're going to do a little theological reflection right here, right now. Integrating our theological life story is a continual process, and this is what we're going to do. As I read the next questions, I invite you to read along the first verses of the psalm. Do it slowly. And recall as best you can your life and lay it upon the story of the psalm of Scripture and see where God might show up. When did your soul wait in silence for God? How? How is your hope truly in him? What? In what ways has God been your rock and your salvation? Where? Where has God been your stronghold? Who helped you? Who did you help see that God is your safety and your honor, your strong rock and refuge? And why? Why do you put your trust in God? The answers to all of these questions are but one small verse of a chapter of your life story, your truth. And it's really good to note that there may well have been some or nots in that reflection. Being honest and real about the times when God has not been there, not been our stronghold, not been our rock, is perhaps just as essential as all of those affirmations. For life is full of all of it. And we're only going to find a true and real story if we are willing to take the risk to integrate it all into our life. Just like the first disciples in Galilee, none of us as well can follow Jesus alone. We, like them, need a community. Thankfully, we here at St. Cross are a community a little bit bigger than 12. But we are that local community, the local part of the body of Christ, drawn together by him, by all kinds of wonderful circumstances and serendipity. We're the local part of the body, called to walk together, to follow him together. And the better we reflect on our own stories, the more we know who we are, the better able we will be to be his disciples in the world. Just like our reflection, the exact answers of where, what, to whom, why, when, and how that make up our story, how we share it, will also be unique to each of us. But the stories are the key. Since the beginning of time, God has seen it fit to speak to us through story. And the more we know our story, the better Christians we will be, the better followers of Jesus we will be, and the better evangelists, yes, spreaders of that good news we will be to those we meet. What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. So start spreading the news. Amen.